She knows a bunch of them. They all know a bunch of them. Do you have your book out, Sharon? Okay. I don't want to rob anybody of their song tonight. In the book of Psalms, in the 62nd chapter, is where we'll be reading from this evening, Psalm 62. And I just ask that you pray for us for the time that we'll be before you. That God will just take His Word and bless it, and that it would be encouraging to each and every one of us tonight. Psalm 62. All right. If you'd like to stand for the reading God's Word, go with us if you would, down to verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, where He says in verse 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Salah. And certainly He is our refuge tonight. Amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. I'd like to take a thought tonight, if I could, for a few minutes of time from that fifth verse where He said, "For my expectation is from Him." And use for a text for a few minutes of time, "Above all expectations." Above all expectations. David was speaking as a man who knew about the Lord. He was speaking about a man who knew that in the previous verses, that verses 3 and 4, it talks about how that the enemies was coming against him and how that they wanted to destroy him, and they would have had it not been for God. The enemy comes against us, and he would have already destroyed us had it not been for God. But David said, "Even though they come against me, and even though they try to destroy me," he said, "my soul, wait only thou upon God." And when we was thinking about these scriptures and reading through them, I thought about that song that Sharon and Rob sings for us every once in a while, 4 days late. If we could just hold out 4 days, God will show up and give us all that we stand in need of. And David said like this. He said, "My expectation is from Him. Everything that I expect in life comes from God." And I had to put "above my expectations" as our text tonight, because how many of us has God given us even greater than what we could ever have expected? He gave us more than what we could ever expect in this life and in the life to come. And David knew what it was like. We refer to David, and often when we mention him, we think about King David that had all the wives and the concubines in the palace and all the riches and everything that you could ever want in life. But how many of us go back and remember that he was just a little shepherd boy when the Lord called him? He was just out there tending his father's sheep, and no doubt his whole expectation of life was that he would be a shepherd for his father, and he would be able to watch over the sheep and protect them. And maybe one day he would be like his brothers and get to go and fight for his country, and maybe even end up being a farmer or a shepherd in his latter years. And if that's the way that God had blessed him, he would have said, "The Lord still gave me more than I could ever expect." But you see what God did for him? It was, He took a little shepherd boy and took him from the field, put him on the battlefield, and called him to be the servant of God. And not only that, but God made him the great king of all Israel. And David probably looked at his life like some of us do. And they looked at their life and said, "God has surely been good to us. He has abundantly blessed us and given us more than what we could ever expect in this lifetime." I hear about all the bad things, and certainly if we listen to all the bad things, everyone can get all down. And there's a time, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time to be sad. There's a time to shed tears. There's a time to mourn with those that mourn, weep with those that weep. But there's also a time to refrain from weeping. There's a time to refrain from the things of this world. And there's a time to rejoice in what God has done for us. This week, I already mentioned I've been through a lot of situations. And through all those situations, and even at work with some things that people have told us there that's going on in their lives, that I look at you and I, and Cecil talked about, and I talked about this before church, how many of us realize that God has not been as good to everybody as He has been to us? You think about all that you've been through. And when they were singing the choir songs tonight, I thought about many of you and all that you've been through. And even through all that you have faced, God has still given you and brought you through things far above your expectations. We can look at every one of them and see that there's so much more. I was, as I mentioned, I stopped over and saw Anita. And I thought, as I was even there, and this thought was upon my heart, I thank God while I was there and she was talking to me, that God has blessed her the way that He has. Some folks, Sister Ruby, may look at me and say, how can you say that a woman that is terminally ill with cancer, God has blessed her and given her even above her expectation? Some of us remember back that when she was first diagnosed, she was told 6 months. That was over 3 years ago. Has not God been good? Some that others that have been through things in their life. And I look at folks that have been through similar things that you, and they're nowhere near as prosperous as you have been because God put His seal of approval upon it. David said it like that in here. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. That even though the enemy comes against us, the Lord is there to protect us and to take us beyond our expectation. How many of us thought we would be where we're at tonight? 20 years ago. Or even 10 years ago. And I guess we're in enough of a crowd, or in a crowd that this is appropriate, I should say, that I can say 20 years ago. The Lord has been good to us. Brother Ivan, and even today I thought about how that... And I don't know how long ago it was that we was gathered there after church down at the hospital with Brother Les. And I thought for sure that, and I've shared this with the church before, that I would be at a funeral service. But you see, we are not God. God works all things in His own time. And He gives us above our expectations. If we'll just trust in Him and hold to His hand and not let the devil come and steal away our joy and steal away the things that God has planned for us. God's got plans for every one of us. I'm in His plan. You're in His plan. I don't know where His plan is going to take us. But I promise you this, it will be above our expectations. Can you imagine? That's why I think David got so excited. Do you remember when the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines? They took it down in their camp and it was away from Israel for that space of time. And you remember when it came back into Jerusalem, you remember David went out there and he put off his kingly robe and he danced in the street because Jehovah was back with him. He was there. David realized, it's not because I was Jesse's son. It's not because that I have a great lineage. Why I have been so blessed is because God is watching over me. And not just me, but folks, He's watching over you and over your children, over your grandchildren. He's watching over every one of us. I don't know why He loves us so much, but I'm sure glad that He does. I don't know why He's so good to us. But I'm certainly glad that He is good to us. How many of you tonight has God given you above your expectations in life? And yes, we all would have to raise our hands and say, we've had disappointments, we've had sad times. But I believe even on a Wednesday night with heavy hearts that we can say, through it all, God has been good to us. He's been good to us. Because He's been there to help us even in the hard times. People just want to talk about God in the good times, how good He is. He's good in the bad times. He's always with us. And when the enemy comes against us to try to destroy us, David said, it's the Lord who is my salvation. He's the high place that I run to and I hide. And if we could just hold on, he said, I will wait only upon God. The devil has nothing to offer us compared to what God has already given us. I've said that so many times in recent messages, but it blesses my heart. Because the devil will come and try to make everything look good. He'll try to make it look like you've been gypped in life. He'll make it look like others are fair and more prosperous than what you are. But when you merely begin to add up your treasures, you'll see that God has not been slack concerning His promises to you and your household. He's been good to us, each and every one of us. And David went on to say, and God is my salvation and my glory. If there's anything in our lives that's worth bragging about, it's what God has done for us. It's what God has done for us. I thought about this as they were singing, as I've already said just a few minutes ago, and as Brother Holcomb was requesting prayer, my mind went to this, that we can't say it's because of what we've done. Not a one of us can say that. And people say, well, we're intelligent people. God's blessed us with wisdom. They're smarter people than you and I. And God hasn't blessed them like He's blessed us. We say it's because of our strength. There's people that's stronger than we are. And they haven't been blessed like we have because they don't have the Lord, Jehovah, looking over them. I'd rather have God. I live in the shadow of God than to live in a world that's full of sunshine, because in the shadows of God, there is more grace and mercy than what we could ever use in a lifetime. And David said, everything I have in life, the Lord has exceeded my expectations. That there's nothing that I could think of that the Lord has not shown up and took care of for me. The lion and the bears I mentioned on Sunday, He took care of them. Goliath, when he came out, He took care of them. When Saul was coming against me to try to slay me, it was God that watched over me. Through everything I've been through in this life, David was almost bragging. Anybody else feel like you can brag on what God has done for you? Amen. Through everything I've been through in this life, God has exceeded my expectations. Yeah. In fact, if God was to call Brother Eli and I had to go home tonight, I could not say that my life was robbed of one thing. I'd have to look back and say, God has been so good to me. Everything that I've gone to do, the Lord was there. And my life has exceeded the expectations that I could ever put upon it. Because it was Him that was watching over us. He's taken us places, folks, that people would just dream about. Taking us to places, and I'm not talking about in this world. I'm talking in the spiritual realm. Anybody ever gone into the Holy of Holies? The Holiest of Holies? Been there with God? And just commune with Him? Folks, it's not everybody that has that relationship that's able to do that. To be able to see Him. In fact, the Bible teaches us oftentimes that the prophets, it talked about Abraham, how that he saw the day that Christ would come and he rejoiced in it, even though Christ had not come yet. Folks, you and I, we not just got a picture of a Savior to come, but He's already come. And we got to see His glory. In fact, the Bible says that we beheld His glory as the only begotten Son of God. And people might say, well, you've never seen God. Not in a natural eye, but in a spiritual eye, I've seen God work in the midst of the house of God. Some of you remember a few weeks ago, I preached in a message. I may have not seen Him with a natural eye, but I've seen Him work. I've seen Him move in the church house. I've seen Him move. Above our expectations. And I don't want to just leave you there. But I also want to tell you that this is not the end. They used to sing a song that said, the best is yet to come. How many of us, when we walk through the gates of heaven for the first time, just to look around, I believe that if we were able to speak there through this message tonight, you know what we'd say? It exceeds my expectations. Look at this place. I know that the Bible tells us how good it is, and preachers have tried to preach how good heaven is. But folks, we've not put a scratch on the expectations that we have that's waiting over there. Because the greatest of all expectations is this. I don't know what death is going to be like. In the natural realm, we all have a fear of death. Because we don't know what it's going to be like, for one, and two, because we have to leave our family and friends behind. But in a spiritual realm, I know that as soon as I close my eyes, listen to this. This exceeded my expectations back in 1972. Because every one of us, when we close our eyes in death, we should have had to go to a devil's hell for all eternity. But you know what Jesus did? He bridged that gap. And now when we close our eyes in death, our expectations is, I don't have to worry about dying going to hell. My expectations are, according to the word of the Lord, is that when I close my eyes for the last time, there'll be a strong hand that reaches out to guide me safe over that great divine. To a place that I've only read about. To a place that I've heard sung about. To a place that I've even tried to preach about. But when I get there, I'll say it's better than I've ever could have expected. I'll be like Queen Sheba. When she traveled to see the temple that Solomon had built and to listen to him and all of his wisdom that God had blessed him with, after she was there for just a little while, she said, "The half was not told me." And does not the Bible say that the eyes have not seen, neither has ears heard the good things that God has prepared for His people? Folks, we've got something that is waiting for us that will beat your expectations every time. And the best part about it is I don't have to wait till I die to get to enjoy it. I can enjoy it on this side because I get to go to heaven. You can enjoy it. People say, why do people go to church and act like y'all act like? Well, let me tell you what God has done for me. He took a little poor boy. Last night when I was leaving down there, and some of y'all know the family that I visit was down in Covington, down on Madison. As I was driving out of Madison over toward 275, my mind went back to when we lived. And I don't know if I've ever told anybody at this church is. When I was growing up and I was in kindergarten, I believe I was in kindergarten, we lived in Over the Rhine. See, I'm not proud of it. I guess that's why I never told you. But we lived in Over the Rhine. And I can remember at night, Dad worked second shift, and when we'd be coming home from school and he'd be leaving to go to work. The lights would be off. We'd eat our supper. The lights would be off because the National Guard was patrolling the streets. At that time, if you would have asked me what my expectations of life was, they'd been very small. Because you see, I didn't know about this great God in a way that I know about Him today. But last night as I was driving home, I thought, look what God has done. He took a boy from the hood over the Rhine, saved his dying soul, gave him a place in heaven, and then called him to preach. And placed him in a church that loves God and loves to worship the Lord. And gave me a hope beyond a veil of sorrows. Gave me joy in knowing that not just today, but tomorrow, every day that I have here, that He'll walk with me and He'll talk with me. And when I've finished that last conversation on this side, we'll pick it up on the other side. And folks, if I can close with telling you about the other side for just a minute. Heaven is going to meet our expectations in that we get to see all of our loved ones that left this world. We get to see all... You're talking about a homecoming. Sometimes my heart just aches with longing to see those that's outstripped me and gone on. We all got loved ones over there. But when I really think about going into heaven and the things that excites me the most, it's not seeing mom or grandma or grandpa. Not seeing our Stephanie, not seeing any of the elders that's outstripped us, Brother Ron. What excites me the most is I get to see the Lamb of God who died for my sins. And then after I've spent a lot of time there, how much I don't know, then I'll get to go around and see all those others that's outstripped us. And people say, why do you get excited about that? Because I have expectations, as the Bible says, that we shall be known as we are known. We will not have the same names, because the Bible says we have a brand new name written on a white stone. But we'll know them. And if it was possible, let me close. If it was possible, I'd like to hear some of those laughters. Can some of y'all hear them tonight? Some of those chuckles. Some of that joy that our loved ones had on this side. And see their smiles one more time. That'll make heaven so much more special. But most of all, there's some sisters and some brothers that used to be shouters in the church that God's taken on home. And if it was possible, wouldn't it be wonderful just to hear that voice with that shout of praise just one more time? But you know what the Bible says? We won't have to listen for a shout, because we'll be shouting and praising the Lord and singing like we've never sung. And I believe that we'll have joy while we're over there in the presence of God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and all the angels. Folks, life that God has given to all of us exceeds our expectations. A godly walk with Him will exceed our expectations. How many of you, and I know that some of you have testified in times past. I look at you and I see people that know how to pray. If you go back just a few years into your teenage years, and maybe even later, you probably never envisioned that you would be a prayer warrior like you are today. But look what God did for you. See, if you'd never gone through a hard time, you wouldn't be able to pray like you can pray today. If you've been some of the places I've been this week, folks, when your heart is completely broke, and it feels like your life is collapsing in on you, people seek God. They cry out for God. We better not wait till trouble comes. We better pray while we have our right mind. And while things are good, we better pray and seek God. Because the only reason why we got it so good today, and people say, did you hear the prayer request? How in the world can a pastor stand up before a congregation and say, look how good we got it today? Sister Ruby talked about her brother that fell and hit his head. A woman at work today shared with me that her mother fell on Monday or on Sunday, hit her head, and she is in a coma with very little brain activity. They're waiting just to see what's going to happen. No matter what you've gone through this week, you've not been the mother that's crying over the loss of a child. You've not been the father or the sibling that's crying. You've not been the husband that's there on the bedside with your children and a grandson that's weeping and wailing. And people say, that's going on. It's in every house. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Just like the sun shines on the just and the unjust alike. When we really look at our life, Brother Ivan, and how good God's been to us, we have to be like David and say, you know what? God has exceeded my expectations for what a good life could be like. Hasn't He been good to you tonight? Hasn't He exceeded your expectations on what life would offer you? Look where He brought us all from. You say, well, we didn't live in Over the Rhine. I'm not talking about your natural home. He brought every one of us from the hog pen of sin. Death and destruction all around us. And you know what we're doing now? We're living. People say, well, we're going to die. No, I'm going to go to sleep in a little while. But the Bible says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, because of such the second death hath no power. Amen. We'll live for all eternity in heaven above. Robin, Sharon, get us a song tonight. That's enough preaching. Maybe somebody just wants to come and thank the Lord for exceeding your expectations. Or maybe you just want to go to a brother or sister and brag about how good God's been to you. I think we've been quiet for too long in telling people how good God has blessed us. People say, well, I don't want to make it sound like I'm bragging. You ought to brag. If God's been too good to you, you ought to brag on Him. Some people say, well, I'd be afraid to brag because if I brag, trouble might come tomorrow. You've been through trouble before, and look where you're at. And if trouble comes tomorrow, you know what? The same one that brought you through the years will be there tomorrow for you. Because He's the same God. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. You follow your heart tonight. Follow your heart. He's exceeded my expectations. I'll be the one to brag on Him. Never could I ever imagine that God would be this good to me. And He's been good to you. David said, even if I had to dwell underneath a cliff, I'd still have to say, God has exceeded my expectations. Because He's with me. He walks with me and He talks with me. And like that song Bella sings, and He lets me know that I'm His own. And He'll do that for you too. He does it for all of us tonight. Yes. While they sing another verse of the song, how many tonight can raise your hand and say, God's been better to you than you could have ever imagined? Better than you could ever imagine. Look how good He's been to you. Folks that's been through some of the same things that you've been through, and they have not fared nearly as well. Not nearly. You have God. That's the difference. That's the difference tonight. Yes. Yes. Coming home. Help them sing that chorus tonight. Yes. To a home that will exceed our ever expectations on what heaven's going to be like. Open wide. Yes. I pray that you got something from the Word that will help you this week. Tomorrow when the devil comes against you, because he'll come against every one of us. And I have found the only way to put that rascal on the run is to remind him who I am in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of me. But he is afraid of the Word of God. He's afraid of the Word of God. And we have to use it as our tool of defense when he comes against us. Remember each other. Remember Sister Tara tomorrow. I believe she's having that out here. Well, Bethesda North, that's right. Thank you, Jim. So remember her. And I didn't mention Steve tonight either. He had surgery. And I need to get his number from you. Speaking of that, let's continue to remember him in our prayers. And certainly, I know that Paul and Brenda, Tanya, Ken and Loretta would appreciate your prayers for them. That you would just take their names before God.